Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Okay, well, we're bringing the Our Declare series to a close today. This has been a long series with a lot of content and lots of things to declare over our lives and looking at the stuff which is good to declare. And at the beginning, as we were saying, it's not so much, we don't want to focus too much on what we shouldn't be declaring, but more on what we should, because as we focus on the good stuff, we automatically just do that, and the bad stuff kind of is left behind. As I was saying, it's, you know, if you're trying to fix something and you're trying to not think about it, it's difficult to not think about something you're trying not to think about.
Yeah.
It gets complicated and confusing. So to focus on the good stuff, and we're told in the Bible, set your mind on the things of heaven. That's a good thing to do. Set your mind on the things of heaven. So often we set our mind on the things of earth, and what we set our mind on then informs our declaration.
Yeah.
If we're setting our mind on the things of the world, we're going to be speaking the things of the world.
Yeah.
If we set our mind on the things of heaven, we're going to be speaking the things of heaven, because everything starts as to where we set our mind. And one of our declarations was, I declare I have a sound mind.
Yeah.
And Steve did a great job at bringing that message. And today I just want to look a little bit more at that as we close this series, because there's a lot of stuff regarding our declaration that does come from our thought life. It comes from what we think, it comes from what we hear, and what we allow to get through. Mm-hmm. And certain things that get through can do some damage to us.
Yeah.
And then our declaration is informed by the damage which is done. So first of all, I want us to kick off with Romans 12:2. If you've got a Bible and you want to turn there, that's great. If not, don't worry, I'm going to be reading it anyway. I personally sometimes find that I prefer to just listen to the person who's reading it, because otherwise I start carrying on reading and then I realise I've missed 5 minutes of the preacher and like, right, I have to go back. So it says, don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Yeah.
By the way you think. Interesting. It doesn't say about that it changes your heart or it changes anything else. By changing the way you think. And our thought life is a major, major part of our physical and spiritual walk with God. Whether we believe in God, believe in Jesus, have a faith, don't have a faith, the things that we think play a big part in our life.
Yeah.
They play a huge part. Hence in why here we're told that it transforms you into a new person by changing the way you think. And some will say transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some people, the way that they carry on, you'd think that as transformed by the removal of your mind. But it's not. It's transformed by the renewing of your mind. God doesn't just remove our mind and leave us like these cyborg kind of programmed creatures. You know, we're not Cybermen and we're not Daleks. We're humans.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's good news. We're humans with thoughts and thinking, and we have those things. And God doesn't take that away, but He wants to change that. And He wants to change the toxic thoughts that we have in our life. The stuff that don't come from setting our sights on the things of heaven, but come from setting our sights on the world, setting our sights on situations. So today's message, there's some stuff that just kind of like blew me away with regards to the medical science and the side of our thoughts and our thinking and our brains. So there's some stats and some different bits and bobs which are just great. Do try and keep up. I will try and keep it as less medical lecture as possible and keep it as a church message this morning. I've got scripture as well, so don't worry. And so first of all, here we go. 75 to 95% of illnesses that plague us in today are a direct result of our thought life. 75 to 95% of illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is caused by having those thoughts in our head that cause us to, it physically starts to affect our bodies. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
The average person, I was kind of like, I love that when they say an average person. I was like, what constitutes an average person? Does that mean if you're not average, you could even have more? But an average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. Through an uncontrolled thought life, we create the conditions for illness and make ourselves sick. If we don't control our thoughts, Things get out of control and we can physically become sick. Research has shown that fear, all on its own, triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones.
Wow. Whoa.
Fear alone, let alone all the other things that might come in, triggers more than 1,400 physical known and chemical responses. Amazing, eh? That's crazy. So there's intellectual and medical reason to forgive. Because a lot of the time our thought life starts from unforgiveness. The toxic things that start to come in start from having unforgiveness within our life. Somebody says something or we pick up on something and we don't release that forgiveness instantly and it starts to play on our head and we start to have these things that start to go on. So there's, you know, we know it's biblical to forgive. We know that. But there's intellectual and medical reason to do that as well. Because those thoughts are released. Toxic waste generated through that causes illnesses such as, this is crazy. So with regards to our thoughts and those toxic thoughts and those negative thoughts, it causes illnesses such as diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems and allergies, and that's just to name a few. So we start to see this link up between, we kind of think these things just come, but generally there's a thought process behind stuff. We think ourselves into a certain way. We allow ourselves to think and put ourselves in that situation, and it's a difficult thing to control sometimes. We need to bring it into control. We need to recognise I'm a new person and it's changing the way that I think. And the way that God wants me to think isn't the kind of thinking that relates and leads to those kinds of things.
That's right.
And changing your thinking is essential, and it's all about, somebody I picked up on some of their stuff, they talk about detoxing your brain, detox the brain, and consciously controlling your thought life means that you're not letting the thoughts rampage through. And as we allow those things to rampage and go on a tirade around us, we start to see that, and anybody that's been in that position where you just don't feel like you're in control of your thoughts and things are just like... And it's like bringing it back in. And it means learning to engage interactively with every single thought that you have.
Yeah.
That sounds quite difficult, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
How do I engage with every single thought that I have? How do I analyse it before I decide to accept it or reject it? How do I let it filter in? How do I analyse that thought or that thing that's spoken to me so quickly and so rapidly to the point that I either choose to receive it or reject it straight away? And there's only one way we can possibly do that, and that is by the power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We can't do it without the power of the Spirit of God. That is where this kind of stuff moves from the intellectual and the medical and moves right in to a spiritual dynamic where we have to think in a certain way that it can only be done by the power of God. Those things coming in, we need God's help to be able to do that. We need God's help to be able to take, you know, the Bible would refer to it as taking our thoughts captive. Taking our thoughts captive, which basically means you are responding to your thoughts when you have them and decide, am I going to receive that or am I going to reject that? And again, it comes to a thinking. And so how would you look at doing that physically? Because it sounds strange, sometimes impossible to do that. You know, you can't crack open your head like an egg, can you, and start fiddling around in there and sorting through your thoughts and your thought life and your thinking. You know, don't try that. It's not going to end well. But you can't do it. So you can't physically look at what's going on inside. You can't physically look at those things and think, well, I'm making these declarations and I shouldn't be making those declarations or saying those things, so I better get inside there and see what's going wrong. They've probably done that at some point during history, you know, like they used to crack people's heads open and fiddle around with the brains. But, you know, God kind of made the brain and I'd leave it to him to don't go rewiring stuff that God wired. It's not good. It is possible, however, to check out your mental process. Check out the process that you go through. It's possible and it's essential to do that. And there's certain ways that you can even just look back, possibly over since you woke up this morning. I'm going to throw out some questions. I don't want you to answer these, by the way, just answer them to yourself. Because this is a good way of mapping your mental process and mapping are these the kinds of thing I'm doing? Because if it is, if I'm just doing one of them, then I need to shift something about my thought life, because I'm supposed to be changing the way that I think, allowing God to change that way I think. So here we go. Number one, how many could have, would have, should have statements have you made today? How many if onlys were part of your inner vocabulary today? How many times have you replayed in your head a conversation or situation that pained you or that hasn't even happened yet? I do that a lot. I've already thought through how things are going to go before it's even happened. Most of the time, it doesn't end out half as bad as you expect, but you've already worked yourself up into a frenzy about it. How much speculation do you do in your day? How much speculation are you taking? How passive is your mind? Are you just letting it wander and not think about those things? How honest are you with yourself? That's a big deal, isn't it? No one likes to be honest with themselves, really, but sometimes when we are, it's a great place to be. Are you at cross purposes with yourself, going through the motions, but not really committed to the goal, saying one thing, but meaning another? Again, that's a difficult one, isn't it? We kind of can say the right things, but are we really committed to getting to where we want to be? And how distorted is your thinking? Are you forming a personal identity around, for example, a disease or a situation? So anybody that's been in Kingdom Faith for a long time wouldn't dare do this, but referring to things such as my arthritis and claiming it as your own and saying my illness, my thing. It's like, oh, it's because of my, I don't know, fill in the blank. You know, as I say, if you've been around Kingdom Faith long enough, you wouldn't dare do that anyway, because we probably hear it every faith, can't you? Don't receive it as your own. It's not your own. It's not my arthritis or my thing. It's something that's going. But it's it's still, we have to take captive those things.
Yeah.
Do you ever make comments like, nothing ever goes right for me, everything I touch always messes up? So these are the kinds of things that you think, okay, if that's the way I'm at, then there's something that needs to be transformed for a renewal of my mind within, because the stuff I'm speaking, the stuff I'm thinking is not a declaration informed by setting my sights on the things of heaven. So even if you answered yes to one of them, there's a good reason this morning to do something about that. Luke 6:45. A good person produces things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Those who are familiar with the Bible and familiar with the message of God would have heard that, like, what you speak comes from the overflow of the heart. But there's a process before it gets to the heart. There's a process in the mind, in the thinking, that we receive stuff or we reject stuff because of the journey. Again, quoting Casting Crowns, the journey from your mind into your heart is shorter than your thinking. And it's not a very long journey, is it? It's also Frozen. Disney got it right. Okay, Elsa gets hit, no, Anna gets hit in the head at the start. It's not such an issue. They're able to heal the thing in the head. It's like the head's fine. It's a good job it wasn't her heart, because the heart's not so easily persuaded. Okay, and then she does get hit in the heart, and it's a totally different thing. The rock trolls can't do anything to help her. If you're not seeing Frozen, then I'm sorry that doesn't probably make sense. But basically what I'm saying is, even Disney recognises, okay, there's something in our head is different to something in our heart.
Yes.
Right. When we're thinking it, it's one thing. When it's eventually thought on and thought about so much that it gets into our heart, it gets even more difficult to get out. And then when it's in our heart, we start to even speak the stuff even more, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
But it starts as a thought. It starts in our thinking. It starts in our mind. It starts in all that place. The declarations that we speak come from that place.
Yeah.
But the great thing is, God is so good, there's ways of shifting and changing that. There's ways of reversing those things. There's ways of reversing that thinking of, okay, well, I can see that what I'm saying isn't good, and what's coming out isn't good, so I need to do something about this. I need to regenerate these thoughts. I need to see them gone. I need to regenerate into something that God is wanting me to do. And prayer is a big key. When we start to pray, it shifts things. We've all, to some degree, probably seen the power of prayer in some way or another. We've either experienced it for ourselves or on behalf of someone else, or we've heard testimonies from somebody who said, and I prayed, and this happened. And it's a big deal, and it keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's why prayer life is so important.
Yeah.
It keeps our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, we start to get onto the brain now. Because believe it or not, your thinking isn't informed by your brain. Your brain is informed by your thinking. Do you get that? Do you get that? Your brain is informed by your thinking, not vice versa. So often we blame our brains for certain stuff, and it's not. It's the other way around. It goes the opposite direction. So let's have a look at what our prayer life and positive declaration means for our brain. When we start to think with our minds set on God, when we start to think and pray, then we start to speak certain things. So check out this. This is cool. According to a leading neuroscientist, Andrew Newberg, it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan.
Wow.
There's no proof that God exists.
No.
No, unless I'm encouraged that every single week science is finding more and more proof that God exists. In the journey of trying to disprove his existence, they're finding more and more stuff that says he does. But 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period, you can see I'm not just talking about people saying they feel different. A physical change in the makeup of the brain can be measured on a brain scan.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you think about, like, well, I can't change. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
God's given you the ability to do so. The brain has an ability to shift and change. For years, they used to think that once the brain had got to a certain point, there's nothing that could be done with it. The brain actually the brain has an ability to heal, regenerate, shift, change,
wow,
move. But, and I thought, wow, great. Of course, because if you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then it's got to be possible.
Yeah.
A big word called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity, which basically means the brain is able to shift and change. It can change. The brain can change, which is just, I find, phenomenal. And this is not just theory. This is stuff that's been proven. You know, a lot of stuff with science is theory, but this stuff's been proven. So I love it when it's like, God, they're just catching up with God. It's like, you know, you're nearly catching me. I'm sure that sometimes he kind of lets people just get alongside and then shoots off again. It's like, ah, you nearly got me that time, but try and catch me again. Try and catch me again. It's like, it doesn't work, but that's amazing that that can happen to that extent. So it shows the importance of the prayer life. Now, we're in the midst of our 21 days of prayer. So some of us have been meeting for at 6 a.m. for the last 14 days. And I've not had my brain scanned or anything, but I can feel a difference. I can physically feel a difference, physically and spiritually, in the way that I speak, in the way that I'm praying, in the way that I'm responding. And it's no surprise, because even just that 30 minutes of gathering together to pray here on a morning has increased something in my life to the point that it wasn't there before. It's allowed me to go to another level, which I wasn't at before. And that's just great. And that's why, because my brain is physically shifting. As a result of that time spent praying, my brain is shifting. I'd love to have done a brain scan before and after, but I'm just not going to spend the money to do that. I'll believe the guys when they say that happens. And that type of prayer, and when it's when there's an element of intensity about the prayer and direction and focus,
yeah,
again, talking about the brain, this type of prayer increases activity in brain areas associated with social interaction, compassion, and sensitivity to others. And I thought that was great, because the more we pray, the more we become like Christ. So if our brain is shifting and activating parts of our brain that cause us to be better at social interaction, compassion and sensitivity towards others, we're coming more like Christ.
Yeah,
science is proving the Bible.
Yes.
Science is proving the makeup of the body. Science is proving the makeup of the brain, which God has created and already told us about. Amazing stuff. It also increases frontal lobe activity, which frontal lobe activity is all about like intentionality and purpose, and the more that develops, the more intentional we get about something and moving into those things as well. But I'm not a neuroscientist, so I can't go right into the ins and outs of frontal lobe, but there's an intentionality. It's why they kind of say like teenagers, their frontal lobe isn't fully developed yet, so that's why they're a bit, drag their feet a little bit. But you know, a teenager with the spirit of God,
wow,
different. Therefore, even though toxic thoughts can cause brain damage, prayer can reverse that damage by causing the body and the brain to thrive. So things that we thought, things that we've said may have caused damage, but we can reverse it. God is able to reverse that stuff. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
So often we think, well, I've done this and there's no way of changing it. God can reverse everything.
Yeah.
God has the ability to shift and reverse it. We even have the ability ourselves, just in prayer. By the power of God, praying can reverse some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of the thoughts that have got in, some of the damage that might have been caused is able to be reversed and put into a situation where you start to see a shift. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind to the point where it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. And there's growing interest in the power of prayer into the change it has on our brains, and even matter itself. They're starting to find that like even the power of prayer can even shift physical matter. It's like, oh, this stuff's exciting. This is great. This is brilliant stuff. Even though, as Christians, we're aware of that from reading the Bible anyway, and our experiences, it is nice to know that science is starting to come in line with that stuff as well. And people will always try to disagree with it, but the more they find the proof, the more it's there. But this is good stuff.
Yeah.
So are you paying attention to what words you're saying and the words that you're receiving into your spirit? Because it's a big deal. Because
yeah.
When somebody says something, you've got a choice to receive it or not. You don't have to say to the person, I don't receive that. You know, that's not going to help matters. But you don't have to receive it. You don't have to receive when somebody speaks something over you, whatever it is. You know, if it's a good thing, yes. If it's a bad thing, I'm just not receiving that. I'm just not taking that into my spirit. And again, most of us have probably found ourselves in situations where we have. And I can guarantee that it will receive into our spirit and all of those things that are listed about getting things in line and mapping our mental process. You could probably say, well, you know what, during that time, I probably did all of those. Because I allowed something to come in which I shouldn't have allowed to come in. And that's a challenge, that is difficult, but we have that ability to swap and shift. And the words reflect the thoughts and emotions. And as those things are impacted, it starts to cause that process again, and we start to receive those things, and you know, it really starts to cause things to crack off within us, which is not helpful, not good. Starts in our thinking, gets in our brain, gets in our mind, gets in our heart, which, and then we speak in it, and it becomes this whole journey which we have to, okay, I need to get together with God and pray. I need to reverse some of this stuff. I need to declare some of this stuff positively. And, you know, the stuff we've been looking at, the declarations, are not a formula. It's not like saying, you know, we're not going to release a book saying declare these things for each day for the and you will see this happen. You know, it's not a formula. There are no formulas. There's just God, and that's it.
That's right.
Okay, and God at work. It's great to have these declarations. It is good to speak these things over our lives, but more than speaking it, we've got to let it sink in. It's no good just saying it. It's got to make a shift in our lives. We've got to see something move and shift within us. And every word, it really does cause pain. When people speak harsh words, it does cause pain. And we might just think, oh, well, it's psychological. But get this, research has shown that hurt feelings from words affect the same area of the brain as a broken bone or physical injury.
Wow.
Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Really? It's certainly not true.
That's right.
It's not true. You know, I used to get told that all the time as a kid. And then we're told to think, well, the hurt words we've heard shouldn't be causing any problem. But it triggers the same part of the brain that if we've broken a bone or had a physical injury. Wow. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever been in a situation where you're really injured physically and somebody's trying to tell you that you're not. It's not, you know, it's kind of, just the thing, you know, it causes a physical trigger in the brain that hurts. Yeah. It does hurt, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, sometimes I'd rather just have a smack in the mouth than somebody speak something harsh to me. Yeah. The swelling on my face will go down in a couple of days. The hurt that goes in is sometimes very difficult to break away from. But again, it's what are you receiving into your spirit and what are you managing to block and hold and say, you know what, that's not coming in.
Yeah.
That's not of God. That's not something that I need to receive into my life, because that's just going to get a process going in my head that's going to send everything out of control again. It's not good. But then experts have also found that loving words can help heal and rewire that pain. They contain the power to make or break you, your loved ones, your colleagues and your friends, to the words that we speak. That's great, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, we might speak something harsh, but you've also got the same power in the words that you speak to bring a healing, rewiring touch of that same pain. Yeah. Sorry's great, isn't it?
Mm.
Sorry's nice, especially when somebody does it unprompted. I had a great situation this morning. Elijah kind of had a little bit of a meltdown, as two-year-olds do. And I just kind of left and said, you need to go to your room. And he was just, you know, doing what he does in his room, having a bit of a scream and a shout. And I just left him to it. And he was just in the corner of his room. And I just went and quietly sat on his bed. This is going to melt your heart, this is. I just went and sat on his bed. And he didn't know I was there. And he just turned around and he went, Daddy, sorry. And just came over and gave me a hug. I'd not have to say, you need to apologise, Elijah. You need to say sorry for that. He'd come to that point. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Mm. Felt great. Not great that he'd done what he'd done, but it brought the result that came of it was great, and that's brilliant. And don't we love it when somebody comes and says, you know what? Yeah, sorry about that. But sometimes we're too full of pride to do that, and we need to get over that sometimes. And I've got no issues with apologising for my mistakes, because it just, you know, it's freeing. You get over it quickly and you move on, and it helps your thought life as well. Perhaps there's been words that were spoken over you that you've been carrying for a long time. Stuff that you've carried from school, like a teacher telling you that you were stupid or something like that. Or, you know, whatever. Andy Elms shares a brilliant testimony, doesn't he, where one of the teachers made him stand with one foot in a bin, and he just had to work around saying, I'm nothing, and I'll never amount to nothing. I'm nothing, and I'll never amount to nothing. And, like, you know, disgusting. But he's managed to make that process now of, you know, he's writing books and speaking at conferences all over the world. And, you know, I'm sure at the time he received it into his spirit and was absolutely crushed. But he's not anymore. He's managed to reprogram that stuff with God. Perhaps you took a test and it just didn't work out and made you feel stupid. And I've done plenty of those. GCSEs weren't the best time, you know. GCSEs was just a time to doss around playing football for me. It was like study league, great. We'd just go and play football all the time. So, all the other guys that were playing football with me seemed to do quite well, though, so I don't know what went wrong there. But anyway, it's all in the past. And perhaps those things have followed you, those toxic words, toxic seeds that have just, like, filtered in and they've just stuck there, and you haven't fully dealt with those things, and maybe sometimes the overflow of your heart is informed by that thinking that's in your mind and then has sunk down into and become a heart issue, and then you speak these things like, oh no, I'm not good at that, or I'll never be good at that, or, you know, or if you translate it into Christian terms, that's not my gifting. No, I'm only kidding. It's genuine, we do have giftings, but, you know, I can't do that, it's not my gift. And it's, well, just do it, just give it a go. So, yeah. But toxic words and toxic seeds that have been planted need to be dealt with. Yeah. And that's just a matter of, like, getting with God and saying, God, just take this, remove this away. And sometimes it's a process, as I was saying. It's not always an instant thing. I think sometimes we want a McDonald's drive-through prayer, where we just pray and it's done. Sometimes it's a process, particularly with psychological stuff, it is a process. 21 days to break a habit Don't get me wrong, God can just burst in and absolutely break something instantly. Break it off, done, dusted, instantly healed. Sometimes it's a process and a journey, and you know, it's no wonder that over this 21 days of prayer, like 14 days in, you know, I feel different because I'm breaking certain stuff in my life. It's even breaking a pattern in the morning and certain patterns that are broken. It's, all this stuff is just amazing. The science and the Bible and the Spirit all coming together. So you know what? What about this? And although we can't be sure of the words that will be spoken over us in the future, we can choose to accept them as part of who we are or not. We don't control the words that somebody else is going to speak to us. I can guarantee that we're all probably going to have somebody say something mean to us. But we control whether we take it in or not. We control whether we like it to become a part of us or not. We also can choose forgiveness and to walk in love rather than fear. And then not allow that root of unforgiveness and bitterness. And that's a big deal, to walk in forgiveness. Walking in forgiveness is so freeing, so liberating, so uplifting, to just be like, you know what? Yeah, it was, I'm just going to let this go. I'm forgiving. I'm moving on. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm setting my mind on the things of heaven. And you know, to set your mind on the things of heaven doesn't set it on unforgiveness and bitterness, because that's not the things of heaven. If you're setting your mind on the things of heaven, it's setting it on love and forgiveness, just as Jesus did. You know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If Jesus can do it when people are driving 9-inch nails into his hands, then we can do it when somebody gets a bit petty and gives us a harsh word or something. But still, I'm not saying it's not easy. It's all relative, and it hurts. But God can reverse that, and God wants to. He wants us to release forgiveness into that situation, whether that's speaking to a person and actually saying I forgive you, whether that's just releasing the forgiveness. It's not always you know, depending on what the situation might be, but just saying I release forgiveness into this situation. God, I can even say for myself, there's some stuff that I can see a difference in my life as a result of releasing forgiveness. When you forgive a situation or you forgive a person, I can guarantee it puts a smile on your face. It really does. Just saying, I feel so happy, feel free, feel liberated. I'm being more like Christ now, because I'm actually forgiving people. Like it's a surprise or something. Like, really? It's like, yeah, forgive. Forgive. And it all starts to shift and change. And finally, just want to speak this. And this is something that we should be declaring over ourselves and that we need reminding of. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Unwholesome talk, backstabbing, whatever it might be. Don't let it come out of our mouths, because it damages us, it damages other people, and it's just not helpful. Stop doing it, because it's not helpful. It's not helpful to you in any way, if anything, even if you want to keep it in that, with regards that this is not helping me, speaking these things isn't helping me. I need to remove these things from my life, and I want to see the needs of others met as a result of what I'm speaking, and that it's beneficial for those that listen. Beneficial for those that listen, that's great, isn't it? And we have that opportunity to do that. There's all that stuff about the brain can be shifted and changed back. Of course it can, because God can do an amazing work in the lives of any person. People that are the furthest away from God as they possibly could be, and then go on to be the greatest evangelists that we sometimes hear about. Because God does this amazing transformation in their life, transforms them by the renewing of their mind, not the removal of their mind. Transforms them by shifting them to a place of saying, you know what? Every time that something comes, every time every thought comes, every time every word is spoken, I'm going to filter this through that one statement: set your eyes on the things of heaven. Set yourself to the things of heaven, because when you do, something shifts. When you do, something changes. All of those things that come in, you've got to take it captive. Take your thoughts captive. There's so much stuff in the Bible about thoughts, thought life, and all those things, and the heart, and the link between those things, and eventually that being that process of what I think, what gets in my heart, what I speak or declare. So it's great that we've gone through these declarations over these last couple of months, and we've got those positive things, those kingdom things to declare over ourselves. But if we don't allow something to shift in our thinking, shift in our mind, allow our brains to physically be shifted, then we're just saying words. And there's a bit in the Bible about empty words as well. Let's not speak empty words. Let's declare this stuff with faith, knowing, yeah, you know what, God is doing something and changing me. God is shifting something in my life. Physically and spiritually, and I am seeing the difference as a result of that. I am seeing a shift as a result of that, because that is what God wants. He wants that journey to continue, that you transformed, constantly transformed into that place. And you can do it, because the Spirit of God will help you. The Spirit of God wants to see this process take place in your life. Father God wants to see this process take place in your life. He wants you to be thinking on those things. He wants you to be getting to that place where it's like, you know what, I'm not thinking that. Or if the thought comes, just shutting it down straight away. No, I'm sorry, I'm not having it. Because some of the times it's so easy to think about those things. It really is. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a situation and we give in to the sin because we've already built it up in our minds and thought about it so much, we're actually ready to just jump into it. For example, this, and I'm going to close with this with regards to thought life. Protecting our thoughts against unwholesome things. So, for example, having fantasies about a particular person. Okay, everybody starts blushing now. Having having fantasies about a specific person, okay, and thinking about what might happen. Okay, people who've actually committed adultery or been in affairs would say that it wasn't the first thought they'd had about that situation. They'd actually replayed it over in their head countless times. And when the situation physically arose, they were ready to just jump straight in because they'd already played it over so many times in their thinking. And their thinking was so seared and so charred to the point that there wasn't something that came in and said, I don't want to do that, I shouldn't do that. It had already been replayed in their thought life so many times that they were just ready to jump in. So a lot of people, you know, it's not particularly scriptural, but reckon that it wasn't, you know, when David went out onto the rooftop and saw Bathsheba, it wasn't the first time he'd done that. He'd gone out onto that roof a number of times and had replayed these things in his head a number of times, and eventually the time came and was like, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. But our thoughts are powerful. They inform how we act, what we do.
Yeah.
And as we shift from that place of thinking and setting our mind on godly things, we're told so much. I wish I could have had time to go through everything, because there's so many scriptures that says about think on these things, think on these things, set your mind on these things, set your heart on these things, you know, meditate on these things, all these great things. It's not just there to look good, okay, and sound good. It's there because it's a good thing to do. So our declaration, I declare, you know, I declare that, you know, I'm taking control of my thought life. I declare I'm taking control of the things that try to come in. I declare that I'm setting my eyes on the things of heaven, regardless of what the situation looks like. I am setting my eyes on the things of heaven, because that is going to transform me. That is going to bring me into that place of being more Christ-like, which is all of our goal. That's where we want to be. We want to be more Christ-like. And as I do that, I'm encouraged to see that, you know what, this is not just a spiritual thing, but this is affecting my physical makeup. My brain is physically shifting. Things are changing. I'm not going to receive those things, that those illnesses and the things that try to come against, that stress and all those pressures of life would try to bring on, because I'm setting my mind on the things of heaven. And that's a good place to be. That is a healthy place to be, spiritually and physically. Bless you guys. I know there's been a lot of stats and things there, and it's hopefully that's sank in and has got through, and it's starting to affect your thinking a little bit this morning. And I'm sure that everybody will have received at least one thing this morning. That's always the goal when you come to listen to somebody or you listen to a podcast. Just know that even if it's just one thing that's going to affect you, you know, that's the goal. You know, okay, yeah. Sometimes you can live off one sentence in a preach for a whole year.
Yeah.
A whole lifetime. Yeah. So just, yeah, whatever it is, let God really do a work in that with you. I'd encourage you to get to the last week of the 21 days of prayer if you're able to, 6 a.m. here. It's just a great time of getting together and praying and enjoying being together, really, and being with God. It's a good thing to do. So bless you guys. We're also going to be praying on Tuesday night as well, here again. Just being really intentional during this period of time. Just really wanting to hit some stuff in prayer and be together and pray together. And transform our thinking and the renewing of our mind. Bless you guys. Thanks, Steve.
Excellent.